Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, he's more like northbound right now. He is super friend of the show. He's also the color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays. He is the pride of Geneva, Wright State, and, of course, your Cleveland Indians. At one point, he's got a World Series ring in there somewhere, I think, too. He is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is Brian Anderson. Hello, BA. How are you?
Well, gentlemen, I am great, and I love the intro. I love the intro. Not so much the verbal intro. I mean, that was great, Baskins. It was great. But the song.
Yeah.
The song.
I
started just chuckling in the car.
Were you singing along, though?
I was. That's one of those tunes. Now, the bad thing is when we do finally hang up and I continue on, that little jingle will be in my brain for the rest of the drive, probably.
Well, that's good. That's what we're worried about. All right, so tell people what you're doing right now and the current status of your family as they listen to you do this interview.
Well, the family loaded up. You know, we pulled out of St. Petersburg about 5:30 this morning and are just on the outskirts of Savannah, Georgia, on the one-day quest to get back to Northeast Ohio.
Outstanding.
So will you drive the whole thing?
I don't know. I may take a break midday, but you know, more times than not, I make this drive by myself, and I do the, you know, 17, 18 hours, however long it ends up taking, straight through. It's a, you know, for me, these long-distance drives, you know, the 4 to 6 hour drive is the annoying drive, because you know you're going to be in the car for a while, but you also know that wherever your destination is, you're going to have things to do once you get there, where today you wake up and you're like, I'm not going anywhere. And so the first couple hours, you're trying to get acclimated, and then it's almost like you hit that runner's high where you don't want to stop for gas. You want no pit stops. You just want to go, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. I am locked in and just want to power through.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, so you're coming back to Northeast Ohio. Then you're turning back around at some point and heading back for baseball, and that's a good thing. We heard Rob Manfred say earlier in our show, BA, that, we were only going to play 60 games, period, regardless. We weren't ever going to do anything more. And Andy and I both thought, well, then why did you go through the whole dog and pony show? What was that all about? I don't understand.
What?
Tell me.
No, I have the same questions that you do because, you know, there were times – during the course of the negotiations that the owners actually came out and proposed more games. Now, it wasn't at full prorated pay, but they proposed more than 60 games. You know, you wonder if he meant because the negotiations were drug out so long that it got to the point that they were not going to go above 60 games because of the calendar. But that blanket statement by itself, boy, does that beg some questions? And not only that, does it potentially, and I probably shouldn't even use the word potentially because I think it has, does that give the Players Association ammunition for a grievance where they can turn around and say, you know what, this was never negotiated in good faith because he just admitted they were never going to go above 60 games. And does that open up the can of worms for the potential lawsuit and the grievance? And I think that that's going to be something that we're going to wait to hear from, you know, Tony Clark and other union leadership here over the next couple of days.
Brian, if you were an owner, how would you feel about your current commissioner right now?
Questions, because certainly that has been the talk of the day, the comments that Manfred, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, made yesterday. And if I'm an owner, I am probably, without getting deeper into the context of how he said it, the soundbite in and of itself would cause me to cringe, because I would think, uh-oh, did we just hand the players' union a huge piece of evidence, Exhibit A, in the potential grievance of not negotiating in good faith? So I would be on the horn right now trying to get to the bottom of it if I'm an owner.
The way this whole thing has gone down, B.A., and now a couple of players are saying, all right, I'm not going to go. You know, Ian Desmond said it and wrote a fabulous essay about it. Ryan Zimmerman's opting out, Mike Leake, and there will be more. How's that play in a locker room?
You know what? I think guys are going to be understanding because of what everybody has gone through the last 3 or 4 months and all of the uncertainty. And I think that, you know, a lot of players, whether they admit it or not, that, you know, there have been times of anxiety and fear about, you know, this disease. And so I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I don't think that guys are going to hold that against them. I, in a normal season, absolutely. A guy who decides he's not going to play and he's a huge part of the team, there's going to be a problem. But when you factor in the conditions and the state of the country and of the world, if you want to, you know, go that big, then I think it's going to be met with more of an understanding tone than obviously at any other time. So I don't think it will be that big of a deal. I think a lot of these guys would love for their team.
Uh-oh. We lose
trouble
him?
On the highway.
Oh, man. Are you there, B.A.? Oh, he's back. B.A., there? Nope.
There he is.
As we crossed into Georgia, and I let her know that we were no longer in Florida, we were in Georgia, and told her all this before we got to Ohio, it's been about every 8 to 10 minutes. Daddy, we still in Georgia? Daddy, are we still there, still in the same place? And I'm thinking to myself, this is Andy. Are we there yet? We got a long way to go.
And a short time to get there.
That's
you've
right.
You've got two sub-5 in the car, right? Under five-year-olds?
Yes.
Or in the sports world, as we would say, you have two U5s, right?
Two U5s in the car, and that certainly adds to the degree of difficulty.
I need to ask you a question about that. I just want to ask you a couple more baseball questions. 60-man roster, essentially, your thoughts on that, how you think that's going to work. And, Brian, I need to ask you this. Do starting pitchers need to be at the ballpark every day?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, my knee-jerk right off the bat says, yes, they do. Now, considering the circumstances, and if they want to limit exposure, then they don't. And so that is going to be the goal, where you're going to limit guys' exposure, especially, you know, most starting pitchers. And I know, speaking from the Rays' point of view, when you're talking about Tyler Glasnow and Blake Snell, you know, and Charlie Morton, all of these guys, they're so very important to the team's success that, yeah, you know what? You could make a very strong case that you have your start and then you can watch it in the hotel on TV. Now, you're going to have to come to the ballpark to maybe get some of your work done, but not imperative for you to be there and be exposed to, at least around the ballpark. You're going to be exposed really wherever you are, but maybe there are deeper spots than the ballpark. You know, if these teams find that out to be true, then that will be the case. Guys will not be around, and I have not heard that question raised before, but that is a very valid question. And it's going to be interesting to see if that indeed is the case, where these guys, you know, Charlie Morton starts on a Monday, and, you know, Tuesday you get your work done early and see you later. We'll see you in the bullpen on Wednesday, and in a couple of days maybe it'll start again. So that will be something to keep an eye on.
And, again, I brought this up the other day because I just don't want my – I just think a starting pitcher – could conceivably not really come in contact with anybody but the catcher and a manager if they really wanted to work it out that way, or a bullpen catcher and a coach along the way. And then the other point would be is if, you know, the rosters are fluid, why, you know, take the four starters you're not going to use and not have them on that 27-man roster and just implement one a day and keep your bullpens heavier. That way you would use bullpen guys. You're never going to use – I mean, what are the odds in this situation that you're going to use two starters in one game over the 60-day period? It just doesn't happen.
I would say early on that's probably obviously not going to be the case just in protecting the guys. I think the only time that you would see that is when you get down to the last couple of weeks of the season, you know, and maybe even the last week of the season where you're in must-win games, you're a game up, a game behind, and maybe you do piece together a game where a couple of different starters are potentially going to be a part of it. But early on, I don't think that's going to be the case at all, and I think that that's something that these teams will probably go ahead and take a look at. Now, I don't think that if you decide as a team to send your four starters back, if you get four new players, I don't think that that would be fair. You would still go with the roster that you have set at that time. But just for player safety, I can totally see that happening, at least until, late in this abbreviated season where you absolutely might have a game, a must-win game the last week where a Charlie Morton would start and a Blake Snell would come in. We saw that in the playoffs last year in Oakland, in the one-game wild card where Blake Snell came in late to finish that thing off. So it would be, a huge, decision for these teams to make. But I can see it early on that you would absolutely entertain sending those guys back.
Brian Anderson joining us. BA, a lot of folks have been talking about, all right, you're coming back. There's not going to be a long summer camp to get ready. You stop spring training. You're going to have guys on second base. You're going to have the three batter minimum for relief pitchers. Having played the game, what's going to be the toughest part about restarting this under these circumstances here in late July?
I think it's going to be, more than anything else, almost putting the pressure on yourself to be ready when the bell rings. You know, these guys, and I know that the Rays, all of the guys that are going to be working out at Tropicana Field because of the 60-man squad, you've got your 40-man roster guys and then your extra 20 that you're going to bring, they're not all going to be at the same facility. I think the Rays are going to have 35, 36, 37 that work out at Tropicana Field. The rest of the guys will be down at Port Charlotte. And so all of these guys are back in town now. I know that for a fact. And it's going to be, can I get ready in 3 weeks? And so have I done enough in my downtime? In the last 3 months, have I done enough to keep myself ready that I have to hit the ground running? And for the hitters, it's going to be all about, the timing, getting up to speed with seeing live pitching. I think a lot of these guys have probably been hitting. How much live pitching have they been able to see? And will they be able to get ready in time? There's not going to be a spring training schedule. Certainly you've got 3 weeks of summer camp to be able to go through, but how much of that is going to be seeing live pitching and getting yourself ready for a season? And for the pitchers, it's going to be getting your pitch count up and getting stretched out enough to feel comfortable, going out there and performing at a very high level. So that, I think, is going to be the most challenging aspect. Is this is a spring training or a summer camp, spring training 2.0, or whatever you want to call it. It's been like nothing these guys have done before at the professional level. And how much pressure do you put on yourself to get ready, so quickly, physically and mentally, knowing that you don't have time to slump? Whether you're a pitcher or a hitter, you don't have time for a slow start because the time is of the essence. I mean, you're basically playing the last 2 months of the season. And, I think guys are going to put a lot of pressure on themselves to get ready quickly. Hopefully that doesn't lead to physical injury and mentally be ready to hit the ground running and successful from game one.
Brian, is there a team you like in this scenario that maybe you wouldn't have liked in a 162?
Well, I don't know about that. I think some of those middle-of-the-road teams, there's some teams that were maybe on the fringe of the playoffs, a team like the White Sox or even the Red Sox, a team that could potentially get hot for a couple of weeks and stay in it. Those teams maybe benefit because over the long haul, they probably were not going to hold up. Chicago, they may be a team that'll be an interesting team to watch in Cleveland's division, obviously. But I will tell you this, and I know this sounds very homerish from where I'm coming from, but I think the Rays were set up well either way. I think that that team is good enough. You know, when you look at the Rays pitching staff, the ability for their top three or four starters to be able to go out and dominate a game at any time, that works well for them. They always put together a very solid bullpen with a lot of different styles, very successful, a lot of different guys that can get big outs at the end of a game. That helps them out. The depth, the overall depth of the team, and that's going to come into play. The Rays have very good depth organizationally, so they're going to be able to have a very strong 30-man roster with even more guys that are probably deserving to be there that aren't going to be. And then the wild card is, because of this abbreviated summer camp, let's call it, because of the abbreviated summer camp, more than likely most teams are not going to have starters that are going to hit the ground with five, six, seven innings right out of the gate. So it's going to look like a lot of bullpen games. And the Rays have been doing that for years, and they've been doing it very successfully. They know this formula, and they know how to make it work. So I think that gives them a leg up, you know, going into a season where they're like, guys, we've done this. We've been doing this for a long time. We've been doing this longer than really any other team in Major League Baseball, and we know how to make it work with game planning and getting our bullpen set up to supplement our starters if they're only able to go, you know, three, four, five innings out of the gate. And I think that gives them a huge advantage in a short schedule.
Chris Rose was with us yesterday, Brian. Yeah. He said the same thing about the Rays. He thought they were the team to beat for all the reasons you laid out.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And like I said, I don't think that it's because of it's a 60-game schedule. I think the Rays were going to be dangerous no matter what. But the shortened season really, really accentuates the Rays' strength and the fact that they've been there, done that. They've got a deep lineup. They can move guys around, left-handed, right-handed. It'll be a fun watch for, you know, for everybody in the league, but I think that they are extremely dangerous.
All right, here's my big question for you. What is your go-to game with the kids in the car as you're driving back up? What's your go-to game to keep them occupied?
Well, the go-to game with little Baker James, he's, you know, forget that. But Harper, she loves iSpy. Now, the problem is we were pulling out of St. Petersburg this morning at 5:30 in the morning. She wanted to play I Spy. It's pitch black. I'm like, hon, we're kind of limited here on our colors. We've got white lights, we've got red lights, maybe an occasional green light, and then we've got the black sky. This is not going to be a very fun game. So we told her to just tap the brakes on that until we got a little further into the drive.
All right, that's here's awesome. My suggestion. I don't know, has anyone else ever played? We play A to Z. It's a game called, we used to do it when the kids were really little. And we would do A to Z, and you'd say, things in a grocery store, A to Z. And then you just go around through the alphabet, and so you can still kind of, I don't know, maybe we're lame, but that was one of the games we always played. So someone would say apple, the next person would say bananas. You with me?
Yeah, and then C would be carrots, and right down the list. I don't know how deep we could get.
Yeah.
I think that may be advantage Harper. She may be able to plow through, although I will say this, being the guy that's been designated to go out for the family and do the grocery shopping, I could probably do better now than I could have 3 or 4 months ago. So maybe that's a game to give a try. One time I can play a game with the family and win.
Nice.
There you go. Congratulations. And then as they get older, you can graduate to bigger things, like things at Cedar Point and rock bands and sports teams. It's always that's like the best way to pass time. Be safe on the road, Brian.
Hey, will do, fellas. Talk,
all right, hopefully we'll
thank you, Brian.
We'll see you while you're home here. Thanks, Brian.
Very good. See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.